Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Hey everybody, Rod Peterson here. NFL season has kicked off and it's time you join the action. Come on down to Houston with Darren DuPont and me on the inaugural Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip with Uniglobe Travel. We'll catch the Houston Texans and Denver Broncos at Energy Stadium, plus your choice of NBA games with the Houston Rockets home to the Phoenix Suns and Sacramento Kings. And if you're a real football fan, you'll want to join us for Texas State High School playoff action. All this, plus live Rod Peterson shows with Dupes and me. Are you sold yet? For more info or to book now, visit rodpeterson.com/trip.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Hey, good morning, Canada, Canadian sports fans around the world. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. It is hour two of episode 79, and we're recapping week 15 in the CFL, hoping to get to some week three NFL chatter. We've been talking Canada West football, PFC, and we'll get around to some hockey, too. As a matter of fact, breaking news today, one of our show sponsors, Ian from Sask Snowbeef, writing in on the Facebook wall, and it just came across on my phone, too, with a notification from TSN. Braden Point of the Tampa Bay Lightning, this bobblehead here, Moose Jaw Warrior alum Braden Point, has signed a three-year $20.25 million deal this morning. Braden Point extending with the Tampa Bay Lightning. There is some breaking news. By the way, if you missed hour one of the program, you're going to want to go back and check our interview with former Blue Bomber linebacker Maurice Leggett, who I think is hoping to be a future Bomber linebacker too, or somebody in the CFL. He's looking for a contract, but he provided his thoughts on the Montreal meltdown by the Winnipeg Blue Bombers Saturday afternoon. 38-37, biggest comeback in Alouettes franchise history. Mo Leggett says the Bombers playing not to lose rather than playing to win, and pointed a finger at a few areas of that Winnipeg defense. But anyways, enough about them. As I mentioned, Chris Zarka joining us here in the bunker along with Mike Abu-Meshri-Kaboos with us every Monday. But the Canuck Trucks here, 1997 to 2010 with woo-hoo. Canada's team. Woo-hoo. The Canuck Truck. Welcome, Zark.
Oh, thanks for having me.
This,
you
this
love that,
is,
don't you?
Oh, always.
Love what? Doing interviews? Loving what?
Everything.
Everything?
Yeah, just life.
Life's
in
good?
General.
If I were you, I'd love life too.
How's that?
Just because. Look at the guy, for God's sakes. How is post-retirement life for you, Zark? It's been a while now, almost a decade.
Yeah, no, it's been a while. It's yeah, it is what it is. It's life, you know? You learn every day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Do you get back to many Rider games?
Actually, you know what? I tried to make it out. This past couple of years, I've been working through Saskatchewan and Manitoba, so I've made it out to a couple of games. Every Labor Day, I kind of come to for the past couple of years and then try to make one or two more. Mm-hmm. But I'm in town for a little while, so...
Well, that should is probably a good thing. We'll just say what you're doing now in terms of your work. What are you up to? What's keeping you busy?
Oh, I'm in the oil field right now, but... You know, I see a question came up there about some NDP voters and all that stuff, but, our Liberal government, has got those pipelines shut down for us right now. So, you know, we're gone a little bit of an extended vacation, I guess you call it.
Well, 97 to 2010, quite an era of Rider football. Maybe we'll just talk now what we were talking about in the break, that you were there for a pretty good time, but you've seen the downsides too.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, when I first came in, We went all the way to the cup, whatever. And I remember thinking at that point in time, oh, we're going to be here every year. And, quite a struggle, obviously, to get back. But, I mean, with the group of guys that we had as the core of the team for so many years there, you know, we were able to build up some stuff and go through a few coaches, but find the right ones.
Abu, you jump in anytime that you... Questions for Zark.
And then sprinkle in a couple fancy boys and we win. Boom.
It's easy. Well,
were you a fancy boy?
Well... maybe not at the time.
He is now. Oh, now yeah, he is exactly. Now. He was okay. Three bills plus at the time. But, you know, we talk about, you weren't here earlier when I said with Winnipeg, like Winnipeg needs to lock their stuff down, win a championship, and then for the rest of your life, you can talk about memories of those championship teams. Like 07 with you, how often does that come up in your day-to-day speech? You're so recognizable. I would think Rider fans are talking to you about it all the time.
Oh, I get a lot of people that come up to me, but the problem with Winnipeg is that some of their fans already think that they've won this. Like, you know, this is the issue. They're talking too much about this Grey Cup. Talk about getting through this season and talk about then starting the playoff run, because you know what I mean? That's where it boils down to. In 07, when we won, we never thought about the Grey Cup. We thought about the next week, and that's how we played things out. So, you know what, you got to get, and we always had to block out the media. We always had to block out the fans and just keep what was in our locker room and play the way that we believed we could.
And then earlier you're talking about when they knew they won the game when, you know, Blue said when they knelt the ball down. Some guys say before the game, when the crowd. That, I mean, we knew we were going to win the Grey Cup. I mean, you could say we knew it when the season started after that speech. You know, when do you know you're going to win the game? When do you know? And there's different levels to that. So it just goes back to what we were talking about that first segment that I was on there. When did you know we won that Grey Cup in 07?
Well, we knew it every week when we stepped in on Monday morning for prep, you know, yeah. For the next game. I mean, we never felt like we were in a bad situation in the fourth quarter when we were down by whatever. We never felt like we were out of the game. I mean, that's just the mentality of that team. But that's because we did. We locked out the media. We locked out the fans, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And we kept our locker room tight. And we never really had any issues in our locker room that year that were leaked out or whatever. We always took care of things internally. And that's what you need to do.
Right. Take care of it. And just knowing that when people say we knew we won the game before the game started, doesn't mean that you don't go out there and do your job. Like how we got this was like, oh, Winnipeg thought they had the game won. And then they took their foot off the gas, and Montreal came back for the second quarter. I don't have a problem with not excessive celebrating, but being happy and thinking that you won and kind of getting that momentum going. It's very different than not doing your job. When you've won, when you're a good team, everybody on the team knows that you've won the game, but you still have to keep doing your job. And I think that's the difference in Winnipeg, is that they haven't won yet, so they can't look back and say, oh, we're just going to, not coast, but in the fourth quarter in 07, we always knew somebody was going to do it.
Somebody was going to step up.
It didn't mean I didn't have to, or you didn't have to. It means you had to even more. Maybe it was you. Maybe it was me.
But I would ask you this, what changed? Because you were new to the mix in 07, but through the Shivers and Barrett era, of which you were there for it all, the entire seven seasons, Zark, it wasn't locked down for whatever. You couldn't get over that hump. What changed in 07? Was it Kent? Something changed.
You know what? The biggest thing that I always talk about when people say, well, what was the difference? You know what? And I liked Danny. I liked Roy.
Me
you know,
too.
They were great to me. Don't get me wrong. But the biggest thing that came in 07 was those guys never cut you down, ever. You know, everybody's their own worst critic when it comes to football. And if you're not by the time you hit pros, then you become one of those guys and you don't hang around for a long time. So they were more into building you up than they were about breaking you down. They'd point out your flaws, they'd point out your mistakes or whatever, but in the next sentence they would say, but this is what you did great during the game. You know what I mean? They kept spirits high, and that's what made you want to play for, you know, for Kent and for Ken Miller. You know what? That was the whole thing. There was always something positive. They could take positive away from anything.
But they came into a locker room that was, you say, how do I, it was hard to, it wasn't hard to fit in. I was worried about fitting in. I mean,
you didn't.
Well,
I'm just letting you know now.
You still don't.
What do you mean? What do you mean? I know. Well, but that's the thing. I mean, there was you, and right. It was pretty obvious that. I mean, look at this. I got Makowski, and this is O'Day. This guy's been here for 100 years. This guy's been here for 50 years. You know, there was already those players that I'm thinking like of a river channeling through whatever's there, and you know, it just needs to be guided you know, I felt like just okay. When do I get on? When do I get on? When do I get on? When do I? Because you guys were intimidating, man. I watched you guys on TV. I was a huge fan before I became a teammate, and you guys had some really good stuff going on, and the coaches coming in and I feel like maybe just for the first time they were riding that wave too, because you guys laid down a great locker room, a great environment to build from.
I don't know. It's just scary. I just go back to this Winnipeg thing, and I don't know if you watched it on Saturday or not, but... And I'll start with you, Abu. You've said it a million times. You're just being cute this morning. Those guys were all in the last year of their contracts. It is not screw-around time.
They know that. This is it. Everybody knows it.
Is there too much pressure on them?
Too much doesn't, this is it. They know it. They knew this 3 years ago. They knew this last year. They knew it in the offseason. They know it. So if it's too much pressure, that's not, it can't be.
You're in the wrong spot
if that's too much pressure.
I guess, but.
I mean, you got to dare to be great, right? And if you're not willing to go out there and be great, you know what? If you're scared, I always say it, stay in the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. That's what it looked like in the fourth quarter over there, is that everyone was just trying not to lose. You know, prevent defense prevents one thing.
Winning. Yeah. Well, anyways, back to the Zarka thing. And it's funny because somebody just said here, I wear my 33 jersey every game day. We still see 33 Zarka jerseys everywhere. And that's not just at games. I see them on the street, people wearing them. What does it feel like to see somebody with your name and number that they would pay their money to get a jersey with your name and number on it and wear it 9 years after you retired?
It's funny because, obviously it's super flattering, but, you know, when I was at the game for Labor Day there, I sat down and I was in section 114, I think, right behind the rider bench, whatever, about nine rows up. And the guy in behind me taps me on the shoulder and says, if I would have known you were going to be here, I would have brought my jersey for you to sign. And I was just laughing and chuckling with him. But no, I mean, it's nice. It's nice to come back to the city, and it's nice to be recognized.
Funny, too, because you made socks and sandals cool. And whenever I wear them, my wife always gives me hell for them. I said, Zarka wore it all the time. She said, Zarka can wear whatever he wants and still look good. You can't. But talking about, like, the ups and downs of your career. 97, you get to a Grey Cup in your rookie year, and yeah, you think you're going to get there every year, and you realize, not that easy. You win in 07, and then you're there in 09 and 10 and lose. Like, does that take a lot out of you? That's emotional stuff.
Yeah, you know what? But I think we learn from all those experiences. You know what? 09 was tough. But you know what? We bounced back in 2010, and we were right there, and we're there in the show. You know what I mean? It is what it is, and you're not going to win all of them. I mean, you're trying. You know, and we had the same team, you know, and that same group of guys or whatever trying to put it forth, and it just didn't happen. But, I mean, the thing that I think that I'm most proud about is how when I did come into this franchise and you know, the core group of guys that stuck around, you know, we kind of did build something for the future. Like, there's a huge change between the beginning of my career and then the end of my career. And then it's not only maintained that, but it's grown from there as well, too. Like, we were in dire straits. I remember going out there and asking for a pair of sweats and a sweatshirt, and you know what I mean? The sweatshirt that I got was all sewn up, and you know, we just didn't have the money for anything. And look at these guys now, like they're rolling around like they're, you know, this is the franchise.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're saying, and I've heard from guys like yourself. I don't see it that often. That's why I'm getting everything out here now. There's a little bit of resentment towards the new riders that you guys built what they enjoy now. Are you one of those guys that feels that way?
No, not at all. You know what? I actually, the other day when I was up there in the alumni lounge or whatever, you know what? I thought, this is cool. This is neat, you know? It's good to see that it's turned around. It's good to see the new stadium, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's great.
So you feel a little bit like you were part of building it, because you were, so I would hope that you feel
that. I think everybody kind of feels like they have a little part in it, but no, I mean, like, I you know what, that was one of the things that LaPolice always said, you know, one of the things that stuck with me from him was celebrating what others have too, you know what I mean, in their success and all that kind of stuff, because that's, you know, one play by one guy, when we were playing, Andy Fantuz would make a catch for a first down, and then all of us in the huddle realized, well, this might be my opportunity. That's one more opportunity for the next guy, right? And that's kind of how we played, and that's, you know, so I kind of celebrate in the fact that these guys get to have all these good things now. I think that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, watching this morning, and he says, love Zarka. When with the Lions, I couldn't stand him as he ran all over us often, but secretly loved the Canadian kid who was having success in our league. Finally got together in 2010 and almost celebrated a Grey Cup win. That hate is like respect. I mean, I hated G. Roy. I hated AC. But I respected him. I mean, that's what Smitty's talking about right now. But I do remember that game in BC where you carried pretty much nine Lions defenders on your back down the field on a screen pass. Is there a game or a play that you remember the most in your career that you're most proud of?
I think the play that I'd like the most is it was in 09, and it was against Calgary here, and it was to get first place. you know, to finally or whatever. And it was third and one, and Coach Miller comes to me. It was in the fourth and says, can you get it? I said, oh, yeah, I can get it. And they'd stacked a line, and I ended up breaking it for like 30 yards down to the three-yard line. And I ended up finishing it off with a touchdown or whatever. And that was the first time in 33 years that we had hosted the Western Final. I think that was a cool game.
33. Suiting.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and speaking of, I mean, I have become Facebook friends with Mike Sellers recently, speaking of 33s.
Was talking about him earlier today.
I still think about that game in Winnipeg when he got the ball on every play down the field. And I'm like, Lapo, lay off. Riders couldn't stop him. Do you remember that game in Canadian Stadium?
Oh, I don't want to remember those days.
It might have been the night that Reggie Hunt had 16 tackles.
It was like Tecmo Bowl. Tecmo Bowl. Okay, you can't run Bo Jackson sweep. You can't run Bo Jackson. Nope.
And you do it all the time.
Dump it off to Sellers. Dump it off to Sellers. There you go.
But these are yourself and Mike Sellers are guys that... I don't know. They're legends, man. When they're still talking about them like 20 years later, that's pretty cool stuff.
I had the same conversation in the gym this morning with a guy about you and Sellers. Exact same. After I dislocated my shoulder, lifting it up over my arm. But anyways.
Well, when you talk about joining people's, would you say celebrate with other people's wins or whatever?
Yeah.
When Bag retired last week, it was very evident. And he was on this show. I thought he was going to break down. I'm not joking. You probably shared him that because, you know, it's hard what he's going through right now when it's over.
Oh, yeah. You know what? It takes a big adjustment. And you know what? Hopefully he's got the right people around him because it is. It's a struggle. You know, you go from one lifestyle to another and to find that same camaraderie that you have, you know, every day in the locker room. You know what? Like, I don't know about Abu, but you know what? Nobody likes getting up in the morning and going to work. But you know what? When you go there and the guys in the room are all smiling, they're all happy to have you around. That's a big difference. Not a lot of people can say that about their jobs. You know what? So that's something that I always look forward to. And that was something that was a struggle in the beginning for sure.
Well, fortunately here, that's what we have. And Abu sees it. Here in this building, everybody's smiling. The Expendables, they call themselves, our staff here, which is awesome. But I remember, Abu, what was your first year out, 09? And you said...
8.
08, and you're like...
No, yeah, 09.
It was 09. And you said, so long ago. Every day's like a game day.
Well, there's...
Right?
You know, I don't know. It's mental health and all that. Oh, poor guy, he got to play a children's game till 33. And I... Yeah, we're very lucky, but we don't get to learn we didn't have to learn the life skills that you learn like at 20 and stuff like that. Just, you know, getting up and going to a job that you hate and stuff like that. Or you get to learn those. Well, yeah, you get to learn those things as a single man, not I got to learn how to be an adult with a wife and kids and a mortgage and all this other stuff that's on my plate. And I don't even know how to like do a tie up.
You know what, Abu? And you're right, but it's still significant to the guy going through it.
I am going through it. Zark is going through it. We are going through this. And maybe this isn't the medium for it, but man, there's a whole segment on it.
Life after football.
Life after football with players. And if we could just get together and...
Have a support group.
Man, it would be so much better. But we get all busy and Luke always cancels on us and stuff like that, but whatever.
By the way, we'll pause. When we come back, we'll get to some other... football-related topics, including Antonio Brown. Nelson writing in this morning and says, from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, Antonio Brown has returned to school at Central Michigan. We'll see how long that lasts, but we'll talk about other NFL and CFL items. Chris Zarka in the bunker with Mike Abumetric today on this Monday morning. Show number 79 of the Rod Peterson Show, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Canada-wide clearance has arrived at Capital GMC in Regina. That means for a limited time, our entire inventory of new vehicles have clear-o prices to move. This brand new 2019 GMC Sierra double cab is just $39,894 plus tax. That's only $225 bi-weekly. We have over 200 SUVs to clear out. This new 2019 GMC Terrain SLE has a clear-out price of only $34,623 plus tax. That's just $99 a week and is all-wheel drive with heated seats and navigation. Canada-wide clearance at Capital GMC in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody, on this Monday morning. Show number 79, legendary number 79s. Gary Lewis from the Gang, Ryder Grey Cup defensive front. Terrell Jureniak, you know those guys.
Yep, that's the one that I could think of, the only 79 that I could think. I can't even think of an offensive lineman that wears 79.
Andre Markov from the NHL and Alexei Yashin, although some have disputed it, but as I said, I found it on the internet, so it has to be true. Alexei Yashin wore 79 at some point in his career. Sports update from this Monday morning. Two Canadian teams were in action last night, and they played each other. The Winnipeg Jets downing the Calgary Flames 4-1 at Bell MTS Place. Sunday in Warman, it was day one of the SJHL Showcase. Melford beat Notre Dame 5-1. LaRonde's got its first win, 4-2 over Kindersley. First win for Kevin Keller Kaminsky on the Ice Wolves bench, and the Battlefords defeated Weyburn 4-1. I'm told that Doug Johnson, the head coach of the Nipawin Hawks, may be with us later on here in hour two of the program. And Canada West football, Calgary defeated Regina 20-7 on the weekend. Alberta defeating the Saskatchewan Huskies 19-17, and Manitoba defeating UBC 37-19. So there's your Monday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room,
where I watched the game.
Regina's newest entertainment destination. Chris Zarka with us by math, 14 CFL seasons, all with Canada's team. You said you're a busy guy with your work, traveling and so forth, but it would be very impossible to miss the Antonio Brown saga in the NFL.
No, actually,
you have missed it.
No, I haven't missed it.
You have been living under a rock.
Yeah. No, it was funny because one of my coworkers came to me and he's like, "Oh, he just got released from the Raiders," and I said, "Ah, the Patriots will pick him up." And it's just true. I mean, you know what? Like they call it. Well, they used to call it last stop Oakland, right? All the players would go to Oakland there to finish off their careers. The bad guys,
the badasses,
yeah. and then now you got New England, who Belichick seems to keep some of these guys in check a little bit. But and now he's gone. You know, so I mean, whatever. I look at it, and there's so many different ways you could look at it. I look at it, and I say, he's in trouble mentally somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, we're all sitting there, and we're all kind of laughing, and you know, like, but the guy needs help.
Well, he's blown through, and I'm just going by the coverage. I don't know, have any inside information, but $30 million he's blown in the last 3 weeks, just what he could have made.
I mean, just self-destructing.
Self-destructing. If he'd settled down and played, and the problem is, you're right, he does have issues, and the biggest problem is he's got about 20 to 25 people around him enabling him, thinking it's cool, and egging him on, you know, and making cartoons that they're putting on his Instagram. No, that's not, he needs to be sat down and straightened out. Mm-hmm. Just an absolute waste of talent.
That's what makes it tough for I don't consider myself rational necessarily, but it's hard to comment on it. That it doesn't make sense. Like, what's going on there? So you kind of feel bad for the man, because it doesn't make sense. Anything that he's doing does not make sense.
Anything else stand out from you, either one of you, from week three in the NFL yesterday? You, Abu? The Cleveland-LA game last night was, I thought, quite entertaining.
I find Cleveland's getting a lot of... You do all this analysis going into a season, and then when the season happens and what you said was going to happen starts unfolding, I don't understand how people are surprised that Cleveland's not 3-0. Their offensive line isn't horrible, but everyone's pointing fingers at the offensive line. They knew that they didn't have a good offensive line. They knew Baker Mayfield was going to be running around. How are you going to get the ball to your all-star receivers when you can't throw the ball?
Well, they're 1-2.
Well, right, but they're getting a lot of heat for not being 3-0.
Mm-hmm. Well, you need to. Here's the thing. If you get sucked into what the Sunday morning pregame shows are saying, and I'm not saying you are, but I see them say they've got as much talent as anybody in the NFL. It's what you're saying right now.
Right. There were one. Their defensive tackle, the Rams tackle, the defensive tackle.
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, they're single teaming him. You know, they're not. They weren't double teaming him on every play or triple teaming. They weren't slam blocking him. They weren't giving that nose tackle, who's MVP, defensive MVP 2 years ago or something like that, or up for the running. Anyways. They weren't treating him special. They were treating him like any other guy. That's what you get.
Well, and the only reason I'm
but you don't have a
following
stud center
Cleveland
to block him
as
down.
Close as I am is frankly because of Chris Jones. That's about it. People are sending me all these screenshots of Jones on the Browns bench. Oh, here he is talking to this guy. Here he is here. Oh, yeah, he's right in the thick of it. But he's there because of his buddy Freddie Kitchens, who's the head coach, who if there isn't an Alabama-looking guy, it's Freddie Kitchens. Hoodie, the beard, the ball cap. All he's missing is a wad of chew, which probably if they turn the cameras on, he would have that. I'm watching because of that. But Zark, you're just sitting here kind of calmly listening to us. Are you as big into, like, I'm into the NFL, but not fantasy. Abu's life is run by fantasy football.
My life is a fantasy.
But Ray Jacobs is in here. He's like, I'm not into it. Andrew Green's in here. I'm not into it. Are you into it?
Fantasy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Rod, if you ask a football player if they're into fantasy, they're going to say no.
I got other things to do.
I just asked Zark if he's in, not you.
Yeah.
Oh, you're embarrassing me now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know.
It's fine. Admit it. Oh, you're the one that's like the drug dealer on the playground. Just try a little. Try a little. Come on.
It's fun, man. It's fun. Just try a little.
Exactly.
It's fun.
No, thanks. I don't want it.
But when I'm with my football friends, don't tell them that I play fantasy. Trying to be cool.
He's ashamed of it.
Closet. But,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, and I've said this many times, I like Chris Jones. Stone me, flame me, whatever you want. He was really good to me. He is a professional. He gave me what I needed to do my job. And I will always like Chris Jones. But I'm wondering with you, Zark, you're kind of in and out of this province. You're all over the place. You're watching the Riders basically from afar the last 3 years. What did you think of Chris Jones as the Rider alum that you are?
You know what? Kind of the same thing as you. You know what? Every time that I went to the stadium or whatever and Chris Jones was there, he was super nice to me. And you know what? We kind of shared some ties because when I was in Illinois playing, he I think he coached for Middle Tennessee State at the time or whatever, and he was like, oh yeah, you were number 40 or whatever, so he knew me from back then or whatever, and then
through the
CFL or whatever. And I've never played for him or whatever, but you know, every time that I saw him, you know, he came up, shook my hand, you know, chit chatted, all that stuff. I mean, he seemed like a great guy, and he was to me. So I mean, that's all I can base it off.
Well, and his mind from a football database. You know, the guys that know him and have actually worked with other regimes say they've never seen anything like it for his recall for players, like what you say about yourself. So, but then again, that's my thought. That's your thought on Chris Jones. Other people may not have had a good time or a good, brush with him or good situation with him, but I did. Yeah. So I'm a fan.
First time I met him, I was on the sidelines with my son, who was probably 5 or something like that. I didn't know Chris Jones. Like people assume what? That people just assume that like hope all football people know each other. He came looked at me, came right at me. I'm like, he's gonna kick us off the field because he came up, shook my hand. He goes, oh, nice to meet you. And he touched my kid, a hell of a player here. He didn't take any from anybody. You know, my kid's 5, so maybe he shouldn't have said the S word, but I mean,
like, you look like a god.
I thought that was, I thought that was really cool because, I mean, I wasn't that good, but it's accurate. Like, he knew who I was. It wasn't like, oh, good job.
That is Chris Jones. That would not surprise anybody.
And he did it because
anybody
he wanted to help me out with the boy, you know.
Right.
He knows
now,
what it's about.
So furthermore, Zark, Chris Jones is gone, and it's Dickinson's team and one of your very best friends, Jeremy O'Day, the GM from way back. Mm-hmm. What's your take on this year's Riders at 8-4?
I'm not going to say that I'm surprised. I think Jeremy is very well prepared. You know what? And he was brought up and he was behind some good guys. You know, I think he learned a lot of good things or whatever. And you know what? I think Craig has stepped up and done a tremendous job, you know, in managing the locker room. I think those guys play with a lot of confidence. And you know what? I believe that they're probably built up in that locker room, you know, the way that they should be. And nowadays, you can't be that same guy with these athletes, right? So Craig probably understands that a little bit better. They're playing, I don't know, they're playing maybe a little bit above of what I think that they where they should be, but that's great, you know what? But they're playing with confidence, and you can see it in certain situations. You saw it in the Labor Day game when they came back. You know, you saw that confidence or whatever. The Banjo Bowl, you know what I mean? Everybody has that kind of game, and especially on a back-to-back, you know what? And you knew that they didn't play overly great on Labor Day, but they played well enough to win. But if they were going to play at that same level in Banjo Bowl, they weren't going to get there. Right, I mean, that's the reality. But then, you know what? Then they bounce back and they play good against, like, the surprise of the league, Montreal. You know what? They play great against them, and they come out with the win. So, you know what? I mean, they're going through a few different things, and they're seeing some highs and some lows, which is good, and they're getting some, you know, some key learning points. And if those guys are in the locker room and if they're in there doing film work and all that kind of stuff and correcting their mistakes, then they're going to have some success.
I'd have to go back and read the book that I wrote on the 07 season, but I don't remember, and you guys will correct me if I'm wrong, getting blown out significantly that year. Do you remember a game where that happened, like 35-10 in the Banjo Bowl, or maybe they did get blown out in the Banjo Bowl? I don't really remember. But my point is, what I like about this Rider team, and you brought up their last game against Montreal, this year's team, like 07, will fight you tooth and nail up and down the field pretty much for 60 minutes and do whatever it takes to win the game. That's what I love about this year's mm-hmm. team. Do you see that?
I do. I see that. You know what, young kid playing quarterback, you know what? There's no give up in him, so which is good. You don't see him get down on himself. You just see him go out there and just attack the next play, and that's great. And that's what you need from your leader. And if he has that confidence, when he steps into the huddle, everybody else around Abu can say this. You know, when the quarterback steps into the huddle and you can see confidence in his eyes, everybody else's eyes open up.
Well, and we mentioned O'Day. I was talking with a football guy yesterday about. The contract extension talks are open for a Fajardo and the Riders, right? And I'm just looking at each side of it. Is O'Day giving him a blank check and saying, you fill it out for as long as you want? Or is Fajardo saying, hey, let's talk at the end of the year? Put yourself in Fajardo's shoes and then put yourself in Jeremy's. How are you handling this situation?
I don't know. That's a touchy situation because I think that, you know what, I'm not in Jeremy's situation. I've never been in Fajardo's situation.
Did you have an agent?
No.
Okay, you did it yourself then.
Did it myself. You know what, I don't know. I think that both of them are kind of treading lightly in the situation. I think that, you know, if either side gives this tremendous deal, then the other one's going to take it, right? But I think both at the same point in time, I think that O'Day's probably not pressuring him too much right now because he knows that he's still young and he's still, you know...
Hasn't really proven anything yet.
Well, I'm not going to say that, but you know what? Don't overload this kid's mind with contract talks right now, especially right now. You know, we're into the final third of the season right now. Let him play it out. Let him just play. Don't let him be worried about contract talks and all that kind of stuff. And hopefully his agent is saying the same thing. If he has an agent, you know what? Hey, just calm down and just play football, and it'll all come to you after.
You're going to say something, Abu?
I always have something to say. But that's why I had an agent, because, I mean, I don't think Cody's... I don't think Jeremy can let him go. Like, they've been looking for this guy for years. But I don't think he can go anywhere else either.
Everybody's replaceable.
Absolutely.
When you start to understand that, then you'll be a little bit better off in life. Everybody's replaceable.
Yeah. Let me tell you the other side.
You know what? They always say it. You know what? The position for your job will be up online before your funeral. So you know what? Everybody's replaceable.
Right. Absolutely.
Even you.
on this show.
Yeah. I could leave right now, actually. Actually, Mike, you're going to have to leave right now.
Stop it.
No, but...
choo-choo.
So, yeah. Players, with the, so what's Fajardo going to do? Wait till the end of the year and then go to Montreal for more money? The situation here is great for him, too. I don't think he can leave here. The situation that he's progressed, that he started off as the backup, and I can't say how important it is for a young quarterback to be a backup and learn the system without that pressure. So he came in here, and he's kind of organically, because this is his fourth year. He's learned
the
CFL game. Now he knows this offense, and he can start applying it. Going and starting, it's third team in 5 years, or third team in 4 years, whatever it is, to go to another team next year, I think it's just going to stunt and kill his growth as a CFL quarterback. I think he needs to stay here and continue what he's developed in this environment with these players and all that other stuff.
Look at it from everybody's point of view. Jeremy wants him to stay because, you know what, he's a great fit. But look at it from the perspective of maybe you haven't thought about this since both of our careers are over, but you don't play forever. Some people's mentality is, I got to get paid while I'm playing.
Get the money, like most people's mentality.
And you know what I mean? And at some point in time, you have to think about that. I know I never did. I was like, oh, I'll just stay here. You know what I mean? I was happy. And don't get me wrong.
You're working at Earls.
Yeah. I was compensated well for right. what I did. So, I mean, there was never a complaining point for it, but there is that mentality. And especially these days, because everybody says, oh, well, you know what? Everybody's going to be sick after playing football from getting hit in the head, you know? So everybody's, you know, shortening their careers and doing this thing. So, you know what? Take it how it is. Mm-hmm. You know what? We could play it out a million different ways, but until that contract signed and all that other stuff, this is all just white noise.
We will take a break and continue more of this on the other side of it. Your questions and comments from Mike Abumeshwick and Chris Zarka are welcome on the Prairie Mobile text line 840-8777. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can go 24/7 and access all the best interviews. It's youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show. We'll be right back on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way. Anyway, get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appell Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Monday morning. Thanks for everybody for joining us, chiming in today. I got some good Prairie Mobile texts that I will get to. By the way, it's day two of the SJHL Showcase in Warman, and the head coach of the Nipawin Hawks, Doug Johnson, will be joining us coming up in the overtime segment. But I want to get to a couple messages here. Barry writes in, 840-8777 for Prairie Mobile, your authorized SaskTel Mobility dealer with dealerships all across the province. He says, hi, Rod. Barry listening in from Rome, Italy. I'm from Saskatoon, but traveling across Italy and listening to your show when I can. Love your show. Quick question, do you think it's likely Cody will sign a deal in Saskatchewan given he said he wants to be the face of the franchise on and off the field? Thanks. We did just cover that last segment. I assume you were listening to that, Barry. That's probably 50-50, if anything. But if the Riders want him and he wants to be here, then it'll be immaterial to get a deal done, I would think. Right.
Wait till the offseason. People start throwing $700,000 at. See, I don't. Another question.
Go ahead.
Off topic here. Do you think anyone will throw another $700,000 at anybody ever again in the CFL? Seeing how BC's ending up, or not ending up, been doing.
What do you mean they're on a winning streak?
I got a streak we can talk about. CFL. That's a little bit longer than that.
That's a good question, but how many CFL teams need a quarterback right now? Winnipeg doesn't,
a quarterback.
Which I'm getting to my next comment here, but okay. Hamilton seems fine. Toronto needs a quarterback. They already had Cody Fajardo. Let him go. Montreal's got a guy. Ottawa needs a guy, but if they were willing to pay for quarterback, they would have kept Trevor Harris.
So there's two guys. All right.
Two teams. Who? What so do we say? Toronto. Yeah.
And Ottawa.
And Ottawa. Are they going to throw big money at Cody Fajardo?
You just need two teams to start.
You're right. You'll need one.
Yeah, you need yeah. one. So
At the same point in time, though, does he want to go there? No. You know what I mean? Like, those are things that O'Day's probably thinking, too, is that, you know what, maybe I can scratch those two teams right off the list, right? You know what I mean? So they can throw some money at him, but am I taking it seriously?
But like you said, maybe I'll go to Toronto for $700,000 versus $350,000 in Saskatchewan. Or maybe if Toronto throws $700,000, Jeremy has
still
to save $500,000. Well, that's what I mean. Like, it sounds like they're just going to wait to see how big of a contract they can sign.
He might already have signed a contract, and we don't know anything about.
Fair
it.
Enough.
Yeah, but that's why we sit here every day and talk about it. That's what
it's
makes
just
it
white
fun.
Noise.
And I love white noise, but this is what people don't understand. And you got guys like you, Zarka, who ruined it for everybody because you stayed here forever and you loved it. That's actually rare these days. Willie Jefferson's the exact, and I'm joking when I say that facetiously, but Willie Jefferson, he didn't have a tie to here. See ya. Went to Winnipeg, made more money. Is he happy there? Who knows? Getting paid.
Well, he didn't come here because Chris Jones wasn't here. It wasn't all about money.
He came here before Chris Jones, right. And Chris Jones left, and he gone.
Sure.
Point is, Cody Fajardo, what ties does he have to here? Because the religious community loves him, and he's speaking in all these churches? There's churches in Toronto and Ottawa, last I looked. Like, yeah. My point is, not everybody's tied to the community like they used to be.
No, but here he can play. He's assuming everything goes the way he's involved in the offense and the players and the community, and he can play here for another 10 years. If he goes to Toronto, he's got to start all over. If he doesn't fit in, maybe he plays 2 years before they get sick of him and ship him off somewhere else. You know, so I don't think he should ever make less money, but I'm going to say this, making less money here over 10 years is probably better than going to Toronto and drowning and nobody cares about
but the But if he has an culture. American agent... Who's just looking at the money? He's just looking at the money. It's
and
really
that,
easy.
And that is the agent's job. It's the players' friends and families to talk the personal side into them.
Right. But again, his wife doesn't even live here. Fajardo's wife doesn't even live here. Like, it's, he doesn't have ties here from what I can see.
I agree. I get it 100%.
Nashville, writing from Saskatoon. His name's Nashville.
Nice.
He says, with Nichols and Streveler in their contract year for Winnipeg, who do you guys think they'll keep?
That's where you, said Toronto, or who'd you say, Toronto and Ottawa? I'm thinking Nichols, Harris, they're all gone from Winnipeg next year. Maybe Winnipeg can make another run next year if Fajardo's in the backfield with somebody else. Winnipeg would be a really good spot.
Well, we thought that we had an interesting offseason, which we did, with Mike Riley being a free agent and Bo Levi and Zach Claros and whoever will. And it was interesting. This year, at least as interesting. Jeremiah Masoli, Cody Fajardo, as it stands today, Matt Nichols, Chris Streveler, and I'm watching that Montreal-Winnipeg game on Saturday, the Montreal meltdown, as we've called it, and they're supposing on Twitter, the Winnipeg media, boy, Bombers are up. They don't need Matt Nichols when he comes back. Let's just leave Streveler there. Oh, wait a minute. And they fumble the game away and lose.
Very Winnipeg-ish.
It was Winnipeg-ish, yeah. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, and this is very Saskatchewan-ish. You guys on the Facebook making comments, we didn't win well enough in 07. You guys got blown up. You didn't win it right enough.
The question
comments
was...
Comments on that, Zar, could you have won better?
We could have.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
You could have had a sexier Grey Cup game, 23-19. What? Yeah. Who cares? Like, you're
very
apologizing.
Very Saskatchewan-ish.
The question, for anybody that missed it, was... Did the Riders get blown out in the 07 season? Because I can't really remember. All we remember is that the Riders won at the end, but there was at least two or three blowouts somebody wrote in here. Our friend Caesar did, and whatever. So I guess for the Bomber side of things, it's not that important. Just get to the playoffs, I guess. Is that what we're saying? It's not that important that they blew that game Saturday?
Well, I don't know. Keep got to get building. But like we're just, I'm joking about getting blown up. I'm sorry to cut you off, Dark. When you win a championship, you win every way possible. You learn how to win every way possible. And as there's no shortage of pointing out, you lose
every way.
Every way.
Possibly. Blowouts,
you learn a lot more from losing than you do from winning. Right?
Yeah, I hate everybody that saying. It's true, but everybody knows that saying. I hate it.
You can hate it all you want, but the fact of the matter is that, you know what, just like in a street fight, if you win all the time, then all of a sudden somebody comes along and knocks you down.
Bigger and tougher.
No one's going to care if you're pinching the back of their arm if you win.
Exactly.
I thought that's what you were going to say.
All right. Zark, this has been a treat. Wow, I didn't know that you were going to be in the studio, so thank you.
I flew in.
Just for the show.
Just for the show.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
Abu, same to you, my friend. I appreciate it.
I crawled here. Struggle to get
and
here
we'll
every day. And
we'll crawl to leave. Overtime next, I believe we're going to Saskatoon. It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Monday morning, episode number 79 on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Countdown is on. Employee pricing at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. Save thousands on this pre-owned 2018 Nissan Rogue. It's fully loaded and ready to move with an employee price of just $23,999 plus tax. Or check out this pre-owned 2018 Ford Edge Titanium all-wheel drive. Its employee price is only $27,999 plus tax. Employee pricing at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. Offers end September 30th. You pay what we pay.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan.
The deep, rich taste and tender texture is the product of great genes and a specialized extra-aged feeding program. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are into the overtime segment. A quick sports update. The Blue Jays open a six-game homestand hosting the Baltimore Orioles tonight. Righty Clay Buchholz gets the start for Toronto. Monday Night Football. The Washington Redskins look to secure their first win of the season when they host the Chicago Bears. It is a 6:20 p.m. kickoff on TSN. And three SJHL games in Warman for the showcase today. Estevan plays Humboldt. Notre Dame faces Nipawin. And Flin Flon takes on Weyburn. That sports update compiled by Connor the intern. And we are going to Warman right now. The head coach of the Nipawin Hawks, Doug Johnson, joins us from the Legends Center. There he is, just a little off center. Good morning, Doug. How are things in Warman?
Oh, not too bad. Thanks, Rod.
Hey, good. I appreciate the time you joining us. So a good start to the season for your Nipawin Hawks. Last I saw, one of three teams unbeaten so far. That seems to be just typical Nipawin Hawks hockey. How are things going so far for you guys?
We like our group. Our forward group is as strong as we've had in my 10 years in Nipawin. The goaltending was a concern coming in, but Ethan Slobosian and Ross Hauerluck have done a great job. And then the back end is going to be a group that's very underrated. We have four guys that played in the league last year. They're just going to get better and better, and our young guys are really special down that back there. So liking our team, and hopefully we can keep it rolling this week.
How many traces are left from that championship team 2 years ago? How many players?
We have three guys, Jordan Simoneau, Jeremy Bisson, and Jake Tremblay. So it's been almost a total overhaul, but got a great group here this year.
Well, boy, does that speak to the turnover of junior A hockey, though, doesn't it? I mean, is that by design that you did that, or it just happened?
It just happened. We're an older group that year, and then everything that happened with the accident and the run that we had, I think some guys just had to step away from the game. So some players that we thought would return didn't. And, you know, obviously when you lose eight 20-year-olds, it adds a lot, too. And a couple guys went to school, and That is junior A hockey, though. You can't look at 2 years down the road, 1 year down the road. You have to live in the present, and then your summers better be busy recruiting.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, it's Darren DuPont. I wanted to ask you about the goaltending. You kind of touched on it a little bit. How do you replace such, you know, high expectations? You had such a great tandem for a while there. How tough is that for the two guys? How much pressure are they facing right now?
Pressure is what they put on themselves. Ethan's been around a long time. This is his third, almost fourth year junior A hockey, so he knows the up and downs. Ross is a young guy that played high competitive AAA hockey the last 2 years in Alberta, and he knows what it's all about too. And you look at them as individuals, as people, they're very strong character, and they have a lot of work ethic. They have a lot of compete in their game. So they're just going to roll with it, and they know our expectations, and they're enjoying it. They're thriving with it.
Nipawin Hawks head coach and general manager Doug Johnson with us. So we mentioned your game today. Talk about your opponents, and what's your schedule today for the showcase? It seems very jam-packed and chaotic to me. Is it as much as it looks like from the outside?
It's a lot of watching. It's a lot of sitting with the showcase for coaches, and then you get your 3 hours of game time, which is where you thrive. That's our office, sitting on the bench or standing on the bench coaching. That's the enjoyment we get out of the game. But yeah, it's meeting and greeting, it's pre-scouting, trying to push your players onto colleges, things like that. And then as far as Notre Dame, they rolled a lot of their team over too, so we really don't have a great game plan for them, but we're just going to focus on what we do as best we can and try and make sure that we're getting better every day and have a strong effort tonight.
You must have seen the save percentage of the Hounds goaltender, however. I'm sure you're cooking up a way of trying to beat Riley Kohanek. Not too many have been able to do that this year.
Yeah, he's a very good goalie. Great start to the season for him. We saw him once last year, I believe. And we've had a couple guys that have skated with him. So that's a great thing about hockey now. Everybody knows everybody. So the players themselves talk within the locker room. They're able to get a game plan and prepare that way, probably more so than we can even give them a game plan for goalies, things like that.
Yeah, well, he's tough to beat, and a lot of, like I say, a lot of teams have tried it. He's the best I've seen in a while. And Doug, I want to mention the SJHL and ask you, the Hall of Fame weekend was in Nipawin in August, and it just looked like a fantastic weekend, by the way. What did it mean for your town to host it? And just take me back to that weekend and what it meant.
It was a great weekend, and for me personally, it was amazing because so many of the guys I played with and guys that had coached me, Bruce Thompson, they were being inducted, so that was very special. I think there was seven of the guys that were inducted, you know, I'd played with or worked with, so that was pretty nice. And the event for Nipawin was huge because we're pretty proud of our little town. It's not the biggest, but it is one of the most beautiful places you'll ever see, especially in the summer. And just getting all the alumni back was nice. And you know, they even stuck me with two refs for the golfing, and survived and had a great time with Wes and Al Smith, and couldn't have been better.
Referees into the Hall of Fame too, you don't see that very often, right? But if anybody deserved it, it was those two. So Doug, thanks for that. Thanks for all you do. Keep her rolling with the Hawks, and we're all watching very closely what's going on down here. So good luck, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Thank you very much. You guys take care. Appreciate it.
All right. Doug Johnson from Warman and the Legends Center and the SJHL Showcase, which we would be there if it wasn't for scheduling and all the rest. Tonight is an Athletes in Action event that I'll be at, which Cody Fajardo is speaking at, which I'm very excited to be there for that. And it's busy times, Darren. Yeah. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to do after this show? Go home and crash?
No, I got work to do, and then I'm coming with you for Athletes in Action
tonight. Oh, you are? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, well, we talked about, well, I guess that was a while ago that we talked about going, but I've got my tickets.
It's a blur around here,
yeah,
which is good. I mean, people think we're just sitting around doing nothing, sitting in our shorts talking sports every day. Well, you're half right.
This is a two-hour coffee break in the day.
Yeah.
No, it's great. But that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that tonight. Maybe catch a little bit of Monday Night Football. And I do. I'm going to rest a little bit tonight.
Yeah. Anything? I didn't get to a lot of the things that I wanted to today. Maybe we should cover them now.
Sure.
Real briefly.
What else do you got?
PA Raiders swept the Blades.
No, Blades won,
the way around?
Blades won the first in PA overtime, but they got three or four points.
Three of four.
They got three or four points. Okay. The Blades had an overtime win on Friday night, and on Saturday it was a 1-0
win. That's what it is, okay.
So both teams winning on the road, which isn't ideal for the two markets. You want to win at home. But you know what? PA is going to be good. They're going to be good. They've got a good back end. If Boston Bolos can play well in goal, that was the one question mark I had after Ian Scott, of course. That's always a question. When you have great goaltending, but he looked fantastic. You know, the Blades, we got to be patient with that group too. I know they got the number three ranking in the country. People, right? Okay. Because they're a good team. They're a good team, but they need a little bit more up front. They don't quite have some of their veterans back. Eric Forchuk got nicked up. He wasn't playing. Of course, Kirby Dach's not with the team, and they're not sure if he's going to come back or not. He's looking really good in Chicago. So a lot of the success depends on him coming back. But they're still a fun team to watch. And those two teams going head-to-head is fun to watch. It's going to be a great season series. And all I can hope is, much like we would love a Moose Jaw Regina playoff series, I really hope you see a Prince Albert Saskatoon again. Playoff series again.
Well, here's why I got tripped up there. People from PA have sent me a screenshot of the East Division standings and highlighted the Raiders in first. Right? It had to do with our power rankings last week.
Sure.
Everybody's paying attention. But I thought they had 4 points instead of three of four. So, yeah, thanks for paying attention. And what I love about what we're doing here is that we get to talk about the Dub and the SJ and the CFL and the NFL and the Rush. Like I mentioned to Clark on the weekend, can we get Brandon Urban on the air from the Saskatchewan Rush? He is the guy that runs the whole show up there. They just had their draft last week. Well, he's coming on tomorrow.
Awesome.
So Brandon Urban, Darren Dreger, Taylor Shire, just some of the talent on the program tomorrow. And by the way, breaking news. Is this breaking? Argos plan to start James Franklin over McLeod Bethel Thompson against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in week 16. So that'll be a topic for tomorrow. Chris Best, also on the show tomorrow. Our bestie, Chris Best, will be on. And actually, I wanted to get into this. Okay, Saskatchewan Rattlers, too. Yeah, guys writing in from Saskatoon. We talk about the Rattlers, too. We talk about everybody.
Oh, yeah.
There's not enough of us to go around. Well, now they're saying, can we do a three-hour show today? No, because the brains just rolled in. Did you see that? Paul is in Paul's chair.
It got full in here.
Apparently,
all of a sudden.
Should I be sweating? Yeah, it got full here. Clearly, the post-show meeting has started without us. So tomorrow, thanks, Dupes.
Just keep the show going. It's like the feds walked in on the other side of the glass, and they're waiting to raid the place.
I know,
right?
It's like the movie Hustler. I just watched it last night.
They can't
we gotta
get us
go.
If we're
done.
Still on the air.
We're done. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. on Facebook Live. Heads up, Paul.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.